Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Would stand with me. Let's pray.
All right.
Lord, I just ask that today you make your presence felt among us, Lord, that we all of our distractions just like fade away, God, and that we just purely focus on you and the word you have for us, that we're free in our worship, Lord. God, I just ask that you heal and you touch Pastor John's sister-in-law, Lord. And I just ask that you bring joy and peace in the midst of the circumstance to them, Lord. Instead of it being a hard time, make it an easier time, God. And I just ask that your healing touch be made over there, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I know we talked about this last week too, but I can feel it. See, God takes us from glory to glory. That's what the word tells us, right? So we gotta stop thinking in a physical way of that we're not moving from glory to glory, that we're moving from glory to bad or from glory to not great. See, every single thing is glory to glory. See, every moment is a moment for building, a moment for good, a moment for things that He's bringing together, right? That's exactly what we're talking about right here in this song, right? You're the artist and the potter. I'm just the canvas and the clay. But see, that's the thing, is every moment is brought together for good things, for building up, for the sculpting, for the creation of all the things that He's pulling out of you, right? See, He created you knowing ahead what He had for you already. So He knew that all of these moments that you were going through were building you up and creating you for who He created you to be. See, that's a big thing. It's a lot of love, right? See, that's what always gets me when I listen to this song. Is, man, you created me for greatness. And even when my moments where I don't feel like I'm that great, you're creating me for, you're building me towards that greatness even still. See, things that happen in your life that you feel are bad are blessings that you just can't see yet. But that's the thing, is that you'll get at a point that I guarantee you'll look back at that moment and you'll be like, man, God, what you did in my life then. See, because that's the thing, is he's always got you in His hands. It's never this thing where He's bringing you there to leave you. It's always that He's doing something for you. And the amazing part is that even if we've gotten to a point where we feel like we're done, He's telling us, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm still doing things. I'm still making things happen. I'm still building you up. I'm still giving you great things. I still have those dreams, those goals, those things that you're pushing for. They're yours. See, that's the thing, is we just gotta allow Him to take us to them, right? To build us, to trust the process of not just the highs, but of the refining moments as well, that they're all glory to glory in our life.
So, following that, John 8:34, and it's Jesus' words. Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning, church. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't attended Operation Ripple Effect, this is your time. It's an amazing, it changed my life. And yet, you know what? I've loved the Lord. I've been, loving him forever and have enjoyed my relationship with him. But going to that, that Deborah and Gina created, I know that Deborah bought that from her training, but it is an amazing time when the Lord, you know, you're not asking for anything. You're not even talking about things that are you're going through. What it is to go and bask in his presence and to enjoy who he is. And if you can't attend, it's something that you can do from home. In our business of life, we end up waking up and we start thinking about all the things we have to do. But you know, first we need to thank him and tell him how much he means to us. And then he gives us direction. So, you know, when instead of thinking about all the things you need to do, that's the first thing we need to do, is to praise him, to worship him, to just say, Lord, I'm here and I just want to praise you for my life. I want to praise you for what you're doing for me. Even in the darkest moments of your life, he's with you and he can help you through anything. And it's just beautiful to start your morning off before you get distracted, before you start thinking of all the things you need to do, because it's really easy. And I know, for a while there, I got too busy. And even though I would thank him, it wasn't deep in my heart. It wasn't where it needed to be. So I attended the Operation Ripple Effect, and oh my gosh, it changed me again. And you know, we need to be growing in him. We need to be having a deeper relationship daily. And the word tells us in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You'll be amazed at what happens to you, how you will just feel his presence in such a mighty way, and that whatever it is that you do, he's gonna be with you. Yesterday, Abe and I and Ben, we went to the Gem and Mineral Show, and we came across a lady, and I overheard her conversation with people that she was sick and that she wasn't doing well, and she was from China, and she was there by herself. And I asked her after we took care of paying for the item that we purchased, which, let me tell you, God anointed our day. There were so many places that we went to that we got deals like you wouldn't believe. We got things for free. And I mean, you know, it's just amazing that when you walk with the Lord, he blesses you. When you tithe, he blesses you. And we just had an amazing day in the Lord. And you know, I had to wait 30 minutes before I could pray for her, but I wouldn't leave. It was just God led me to pray and be with her for a moment. And she told me, she was crying as we were praying. She needed healing. And she says, thank you so much for staying with me, for praying for me. You don't know, I've been alone. And I told her, I said, you're never alone with the Lord. And, you know, she was so touched. She was crying and just says, thank you. Thank you for staying. Thank you for praying. And then she prayed for me. And it was just such an amazing time in the Lord. So, you know, your sensitivity will grow as you take time for him, that you make him first in your life. And so, Deborah and Gina, thank you for starting this here. I mean, it'll transform you. It'll give you a deeper walk. So, thank you.
I wasn't going to share this, but after hearing that, I've also been going to the Ripple Effect, and I had strep throat earlier, and the doctor that I normally go to has had a problem in his life and hasn't been able to be down here at the clinic that I go to. And so I went, and there was a woman doctor there, and when I saw her, she was so burdened because she's not only working for her patients, but she's having to take care of my doctor's patients. And so I could tell how frazzled she was. So after she treated me and gave me medication, she had me come back in a couple weeks, which I did. And when I was in there and praying, God told me that I should pray for her. And so I'm saying, okay, how does this look, Lord? How am I going to bring this about? So I said, you don't have to, just wait and it'll happen. So after she got done checking my blood pressure and all that, and she came over and was listening to my heart and all that, she went over across the room and she was sitting there looking at the paperwork. And I said to her, would you mind if I prayed for you? And she said, no. And I said, do you mind if I touch you? And she said, no. So I went up behind her, put my hands on her and prayed for her. And whenever it was done, she turned around, hugged me and said, thank you so much. And so God is preparing the way for us and he'll show us. And that ripple effect is working. So praise the Lord.
Hello. I don't like coming up here at all, but I can't sit on God because God's just been so good to me and I'm very grateful and I just feel like a whole new person because some of you guys know my situation, but I'm not the same person anymore. And like my foundation's not rocky. It's becoming firm. And I'm so nervous, I'm shaking. But I just thank God for what the calling that he has on my life and over my daughter. It's so funny because I'm shaking. April 9th, I'll be 1 year sober. And I'm so nervous right now, but thank God for Becca. I love Becca. That's my sister. I love that girl. And it's funny because I was going to go to my daughter's game on Friday. And they all of a sudden called this mandatory house meeting. And oh, I was mad, livid. And Beckett had drove all the way from Star Rita to bring me a t-shirt to wear to my daughter's game. And all I thought is like, God, I want a drink. I want a drink. I'm so mad. Like, my daughter's going to be upset because I can't come and blah, blah, blah. And so I called her and told her I couldn't come. And she goes, well, can you send me money for nachos? It's okay. Like, she didn't care that I couldn't make it, but I don't know. It's just, you helped me. You didn't even know. Just by you being there and taking me to the store or whatever, it helped me not get my head out of that thinking because I don't want to drink. I don't want to drink again anymore. Like, it doesn't, it just destroys my life, you know? It doesn't have a purpose for me anymore, and I know that. And and then I came to church today, and I saw Zarian. And that's my road dog from back in the days. I mean, back in the days, you know, before we had kids and stuff. So it's just, I don't know, I'm just so nervous. But I just thank God for my foundation and my faith. My faith is deep. I love the Lord. Like, I love God, like, for real, because I should have been dead. Like, the way I was drinking was insane. It didn't matter that I couldn't walk anymore. You guys saw me in here with a walker. That wasn't enough to stop me because that thing had such a hold on me. Such a hold on me that I was stuck. Like, the same thing that put me to bed at night was the same thing that woke me up in the morning. Like, nothing should have that much control over you but God. And, like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I'm happy without alcohol. I'm happy with just being Veronica. I love me. And I deserve to live. My daughter deserves to have a mother that is there for her and not drunk. And I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my foundation. I'm thankful for my faith. I'm thankful for everything. I'm thankful that I had a car to sleep in. You know, I just thank God. And by the way, Smokey Wokey's going to the mechanic this week, getting a new engine. Smokey Wokey's my Nissan Murano, and when I drive out the parking lot, everyone's like, whoa, be careful, because the smoke would come all out of the back of the car. But Smokey Wokey's getting a brand new engine and all four new tires this week, so thank God for that, you know? So, I don't know. And it's funny, one more thing, because I know I'm not supposed to be long. But I was in the car with Becca, and my mom's on the phone. And my mom's like, calm down, Vettel. Vettel, calm down. It's okay. You just need to go keep working. You're going to get your own place, and it's just a game, and you're going to be able to go to many a games, Leah. I'm like, but it's the last one of the school year, and Becca brought me a shirt to wear to the game. You know, like, I was so mad. But I got a phone call while I was in the car with Becca out of nowhere. And I don't work at the pharmacy right now because it's too far or whatever. And I've been working for Bank of America, which I love my job. But now I got a call saying, Veronica, do you want to come back to the pharmacy? We're looking for somebody, and we want to know if you're interested, but I want to talk to you first before I put your name out there because I don't know what your situation is. And I'm like, let's see, $18 an hour or $29 an hour? I'm going back to the pharmacy. So I'm like, okay, you know? So I'm like, thank you, Lord, just keep working for me. And so I feel like the world, the universe just wanted me to get sober so I can see, so I can actually hear God and just be quiet and be patient and have peace. And I'm just like, things are just continuously working out for me in my favor. Like, just stay sober, Veronica. Like, I'm already a nice person, but you're drunk. So just stay sober, and things just continuously keep working out for me. And yesterday, my daughter texted me. This is the best thing ever, because that little girl, y'all see me drag her to church all the time, but she told me, Mom, can you buy me a Bible? And I'm like, okay, sure. And I'm like, yeah, you should get I'll get you a Bible. So she sends me this King James version. I'm like, oh, girl, because it was pink. And she likes pink. And I'm like, well, you ain't going to understand anything in that Bible. So let's get you a NIV, a New Living Translation, a study guide Bible. So that way it's more, she can understand it. It's more layman terms, you know, yeah. And so we ordered her pink Bible. We're going to bedazzle it. But a pink Bible on Amazon yesterday. But that girl's been coming to church with me since she was a baby, and she's never... Really, it's kind of like a chore for her. Like, oh, God, we got to go to church. I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that. You know, but if it was cheer, she's up at the beginning of the morning. But for her to even ask me for a Bible, I'm like, wow, like, you don't even realize how little things are answered prayers. You know what I mean? And just for, I don't even know if she's going to open the Bible, but the fact that she asked me for one, I'm going to get her one, and we're going to bedazzle it, you know? But so, yeah. So anyways, that's it. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Praise God. Good. What a testimony. Praise God. Been praying for Veronica for a while. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I mean, a lot of you have been praying for her. Glory to God. God does great things. How many say amen to that? God is able to do far above all that we can ask or think. Amen. God knows how to change your life. Is that right? Yeah, I'm going to get rid of my pocket knife, my keys. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All things work together for good to those that love God. How many of you love God today? How many of you have been through some heavy stuff? Anybody been through some heavy stuff? Yeah. How many of you know that you're alive today because God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Do you know that? Do you understand that He has determined your life even before you were created? Can you say amen to that? Even before the foundation of the earth, the Bible says, you were planned for. Amen? It's not a chance of happenstance or whatever, what do you want to call it, that you're here today on the earth, that you're in the midst of all the people on the earth today. God has a plan for you if you'll receive that. Do you say amen? Amen. Folks, it's not just about going to church. How many know that? How many know that life in the spirit, life with God is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 35, 36 days a month, how many of you want to call them?
5 days a year.
But God knows who we are. Amen? He loves us. Is that right? Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know a Super Bowl Sunday? Yeah, a little bit short today, so maybe that's why some folks aren't. I'm gonna have to send out letters to them. Amen. Yeah, threatening letters. Amen. I mean, I'm gonna plug your TV. Amen. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of a play. No. No. How many know God has given us? God has given us freedom. Is that right? Freedom to do those things. I mean, hey, you know what? It's okay if you miss church. Is that all right? No. Once in a while, is it okay if you miss church? Come on. We don't take attendance at this church. How many of you know that? Yeah. Well, you don't. Nobody knows that. Well, we don't take attendance here, man. We love you. Amen. We realize people sometimes. Hey, just nice to sleep in. It'd be nice if I could sleep in. Just kidding. I should be quiet now. Because I get myself in trouble. Rosie's gonna die. Oh boy. My wife will. Yeah, yeah. If you will, open your Bibles to I think it's John chapter 5. Today the message today is called "Is It Possible?" How many of you know all things with God are possible? Is that right? We've got a sign right here in the back. It says, "With God, all things are possible." All things. Is that right? All things. The only things that aren't possible are those things that are contrary to God's word. And how many know that? If God has given you a promise, how many know it's possible? It's important that we believe God and his promises. It's important, God, that we pray, that we talk to the Lord. It's important that we spend time. Can I just say this? Take a little time just to say, God, I'm going to shut my mouth. Is that okay? And I want to listen to you. I want to listen for you. Is that okay? Yes. It's important, folks, that not only do we speak out, but also that we listen. God's looking for a listening bunch of people. Can you say amen? He wants us to. You know, there was a time in the Old Testament where the Bible says that it was that a word from the Lord was in shortage. It was long before they had heard a word from the Lord. And I never want to be like that. I want to hear what God has to say every day. Can you say amen? This is the day that the Lord has made. Tomorrow, when it gets here, will be the day the Lord has made. But the only day we can have control, the only day we can have control of our own lives are this day today. Yes. And God would say, just let me speak to you. Allow me to speak to your heart. Amen. So today in this message, I want you to lean in a little bit. Listen to the message. Listen to what's going on. Because I'll tell you for sure that all things are possible. God does have more for you than you can even imagine. Can you say amen? Are you believing him for it? Are you expecting him to do far more than you can even imagine? Are you expecting him? Because he's God. So today, lean in, listen to the message, and then go home if you want. Don't watch the Super Bowl and go home and pray. I'm just kidding you. Golly. How many of you are for the Eagles? One, two. How many are for Kansas City? So we have some sports fans in here, amen. Is that okay? Is it all right? Some people like sports. Yeah, some people like shoes. You gotta see my wife's closet. Yeah. Yeah. God has given us life. folks, and life more abundant. It's important that we appreciate all the things that God gives us. Is that right? Because it could be any time that things could be taken away. Is that right? I was listening. There was a lady that was on, was talking about her fire, her house burned in the fire. And one of the things that was told her, as long as your faith didn't burn with it, as long as your trust in the Lord didn't burn with it, you're good. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, it's for us, you know, hey, I didn't lose a house over there, but I can imagine. Some of those folks lost everything. Don't know what to do right now. But as long as their faith didn't burn, as long as their trust didn't burn in that fire, then they've got everything they need. Can you say amen to that? Oh, come on, folks. We have a God that cares for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Watch this. Jesus, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity. How long? 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" What kind of question is that, huh? Come on, Jesus. What do you think I'm hanging around this pool for? Will you? Do you want to be whole? And the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." That's been the story of all my life, almost. Somebody always beating me to it. How many say amen to that? Somebody always beating me to it. How many of you win a lot? Lotteries and stuff? Anybody?
Nope.
No. Somebody's always beating me to it. I don't play the lottery, by the way. Yeah. I've only played one time, and it didn't work very well. My uncle came out of Circle K one day and he goes, "Hey," he goes, "you want a lottery ticket?" I said, "Sure." And he goes to hand it to me and he looks at it and he goes, and he gets the other one and he goes, "Go buy your own." What if I would have won? Yeah, always somebody sometimes seems like they're getting ahead of you. Is that all right? But how many know that? Nobody was getting ahead of this man, is that right? He was there because Jesus was there now, is that right? Now who's getting ahead? Is that right? He don't need no water to be troubled. Folks, do we realize who is with us? Do we really realize and take an account of who he is in our lives? Is that all crazy? God Almighty, the creator of the universe, dwells in you. Can you say amen? Ooh, come on, man. But another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cursed, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." And he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk." Who would you listen to? Yeah? Hey, it's against the law, bro. I don't care. The guy healed me. He told me to walk. Pick up my bed and get out of here. Man, I'm going to do what he said. Then asked they him, "What man is that which said to thee, take up your bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in a temple and said to him, "Behold, you are made whole. This is sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." I want to go to another scripture. It's in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read here because the lights are killing me, man. Wow. John chapter 8. My eyes are watering. Starting at verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again to the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" These guys are always trying to catch Jesus. Amen? I love watching Jesus. How many like watching what Jesus does? How you like watching his reactions? Man, I love some of his reactions. And man, I go, man, I'd like to get in a situation like that so I can act just like Jesus. Because man, he comes up with some good stuff. Can you say amen to that? I mean, Jesus, how can you outsmart the creator of the universe? Man. Could it be that he even knew they were going to come and ask that question? So he studied a little bit to give an answer. No, he didn't have to. "What sayest thou?" And this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone." I love it. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even unto the last. Why do you think they began to get convicted in their conscience from the oldest? The oldest ones actually started dropping their rocks and walking off. What do you think that might be? Ooh, they got a lot more time to spend. They've had a lot more time sinning. "He that's without sin, you can cast the first stone." Ooh. What a scorching reply. Amen? Man, now the focus went from women, from that woman caught in adultery, which they actually should have had the man there for the law. They should have caught them both. They should have taken them both. But they got the lady and they took her there. I wonder if it wasn't, might have been set up a little bit that way for them. I don't know. But man, when Jesus, he goes, "Hey, you without sin, cast the first stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, and said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That word, those three little words, sin no more. Huh? Why did Jesus come? Does anybody, why did Jesus come? Yeah. John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world." He so loved you. Amen? He loves you so much. He loves everyone, even those folks that don't know, even those people that are cursing him, even those people that are, those devil worshipers down the street from your house, whatever, even the maniac kids. Guess what? God loves them. Is that right? He loves them. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Right? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. Huh. Problem is, he loves us, but we sin. Is that right? We're a sinning bunch. Is that right? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that right? Is that correct? What does all mean? All means all. Is that right? All have sinned. There is none righteous, is what the scripture says in another place. No, not one. Therefore, he had to send his son. Is that right? If he wants to deal with man, he's got to send his son. Romans 5:8 says this, but God commends his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Is that good? Even when you were doing those dirty deeds that you were doing, in the midst of your dirty deeds, Jesus had died for you. Is that okay? That's crazy, huh? He didn't ask your permission. He didn't have to get your permission to come and die for you. Is that right? Aren't you glad? Because if I didn't know him at the time, I said, I don't need it. Oh, yeah, you do. You just don't know how much you need it. Can you say amen to that? God knows what we need. And there was a time when he was looking at the earth, he says, they need a Savior. And he sent his son to save us. Can you say amen? Are you glad? Ooh, I'm glad. I was an alcoholic. Veronica, I was an alcoholic. And God found me in the midst of my mess. And he saved me. August 8th, 1979. Been dry ever since. But thirsty. But thirsty, folks. I haven't been thirsty for alcohol. I've been thirsty for the living water. For the waters of life that flows from God and God alone. He's my source. Amen. He's my source. Hallelujah. While we were yet sinners. See, I'd heard the story, but I just didn't know it. I didn't understand it. Can you say amen? I'd heard it before. I was raised a Catholic. But the message never penetrated my heart till I had a need. There might be somebody in here today that, man, this message has never really penetrated your heart. But the fact of the matter is, he loves you more than anybody on the planet. And he wants you to know him. He's opening his arms to you and saying this, hey, let me walk in. I behold, I stand at the door and knock. I want in, is what Jesus said. Come on, man. He never forced you. Never. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Look at these scriptures. This is beautiful writing. Sometimes I think about, man, what an anointing Paul was under while he was writing some of these things. Beautiful things. And I'm not even sure, I don't even know if he really realized what he was writing down. Because a lot of these things, sometimes the Lord is speaking through you and you just don't, I mean, you haven't grasped it. And I wonder if Paul had some things like that. But here it says, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. You know who that is? The Jews. They would call us uncircumcised. He says, but remember, he says, that you, being in past Gentiles in the flesh, and are called uncircumcision by the circumcision. I'm sorry, I'm not done with that, Mija. Yeah. By the circumcision in the flesh, which is made by hands, that at that time, there you go, you were without Christ. How many remember that, being without Christ? You're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. See, this is the commonwealth of Israel. I mean, you gotta understand this commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth of Israel, the Israel it's talking about is Jacob. And he had a commonwealth. He had a promise. He had a commonwealth. And that commonwealth is the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Do you understand that this Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make your seed like the sands of the sea. You know, I mean, like the stars in the air. You can't even count them. They're going to be so many of them. It's a commonwealth, folks. This kingdom that we live in is a commonwealth. Everybody has everything in common. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? Everything that the kingdom has is for you. I felt that. Yeah. Strangers, aliens from the commonwealth and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. How many remember that? Boy, I remember it. Without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What's that middle wall? What was that middle wall of partition that kept us from what? From God? Jesus came and died and he broke down this wall. What wall was that? It was a wall of sin. It was also a wall of consciousness, sin consciousness. How many of you know what that is? Your conscience of what you're doing, your sin keeps going back to you and telling you, well, you're just a sinner. You've got a sin consciousness. God doesn't want you to have that sin conscience. He wants to clear that out of you so that you have his conscience. Can you say amen to that? The Spirit of God wants to speak into your life so that you'll contain the things that he has for you and you won't keep going back to that sin consciousness. I used to have people tell me, you know what, you're an alcoholic, Henry. You'll be back. You got a fever. I said, yeah, this fever is a little different. This fever that I've got, I don't think I'll be back. Oh. He tore down that middle wall, that partition. It's a wall of sin, which man, how many of you believe that he's washed your sins away? But see, but there's more than just him washing your sins away. Is that okay? It's a whole lot more. And folks, we got to get a hold of some of these things, if you will. John chapter 8 verse 9 says this. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. You see that? We read this. These are those guys that wanted to stone the lady. They were convicted by their own conscience, and they left one by one, starting at the eldest to the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman. What had Jesus said? You that are without sin, cast the first stone. So their conscience, to that word that Jesus spoke to them, convicted them. Boom. Dude, I'm getting out of here. Does that make sense? See, we all have conscience. How many of you ever stole a candy bar? Anybody? I used to, because I can say that. I stole a candy bar, and man, I got convicted. Done some crazy things. Got convicted. Felt bad about it. If somebody was to tell me, yeah, you know... You need to go, because I was a Catholic. So if somebody was to tell me, hey, you need to go to the priest, and you need to go confess your sins. So I would go. Did not make me feel any better. I don't know. There was something about it. I had a consciousness of sin. I would do the penance. You got me? I don't know if everybody knows what penance is with the Catholic Church, but the father would tell you, oh, I want you to say like 5 Hail Marys, do 10 Our Fathers, and then you'll be clean. I didn't get it. I'd do it, and I'd walk out of that building the same way I walked in. Sin conscience. Does anybody get that? Understand that? because there was nothing there to clear me. Those prayers were not clearing me. True or false question? Is it impossible to sin no more like Jesus? Is it impossible? It's not impossible. When Jesus told that, you know, if Jesus wouldn't have said that, and somebody had told me, hey, just sin no more, Henry, I would have said, that's impossible. But see, Jesus is the one that said it to that first, that leper. Said, sin no more. Or the guy at the pool. I don't know if he wasn't leprosy, but he's the first one to say, hey, sin no more. And then he tells that lady that was caught in adultery, sin no more. So a lot of the church today, I would say a lot of people think that you cannot walk on this planet without sinning. Does anybody know that? That there's a lot of people that think that way. That they think, oh, I'm not, everybody sins. You're right. The Word of God says everybody sins. But when Christ came into your life, sin, how many of you know, was eradicated. Is that the right word? Eradicated. It was taken out. Knocked out at the knees, boom, on the ground, breathing heavy. Isn't that right, Rebecca? I was helping my daughter. She was doing remodeling where her place, where a place of business was, and there's a large courtyard, and there's three steps going down into this courtyard. And Rebecca had grabbed some stuff, took it, and I pulled some shelving out of the back of my truck. And somehow I just didn't remember there was three steps. So I took one step, and the last two, I just went right over them. And ended up with shelving flying one way and kind of, I mean, I was telling Steve, there used to be a young man in my youth group. His name was Tyler Place. He's a big guy. And we were playing football. And he hit me pretty hard. Man, rang my bells. And man, I'll tell you what. I haven't been hit that hard till just last Friday. I hit that man, boom. And one of Rebecca's friends was telling me, hey, you need to go to the hospital. Rebecca's going, you want me to take you to the hospital? No, I don't go. She goes, you need to, you know, you might have broke her. She scared her. I could tell by her face. She was actually weeping. Dad, can you help? Let me take you. No, I'm okay. I don't break bones. Can you say amen? I do not break bones. Is that right, Becca? Come on, man. I follow Jesus. The Bible says he didn't have one broken bone.
No.
Yeah. So I'll take that. Amen. That's a promise. Oh, God. I believe that we need to understand what God is trying to say to us when he says, Jesus told that woman, sin no more. It is absolutely a possibility in your life to walk in this planet without sin. Can you say amen? Amen. I know sometimes folks are going, that's pretty rough. No. The reason you might feel rough to you is because you're trapped. And God's got an answer for you. The only answer, it's the answer of the ages. God's answer to you is Jesus. He will take things out of your life. He will send his spirit into your life to remove the things that are contrary to him. How many know there can be things in your life that are contrary to him? Is that right? And he wants to come in and just say, I'm going to smite that thing. I want to cut off its head. Isn't that right, Terry? I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to cut off his head, and he'll never rise again in your life. How many say amen to that? Amen. I want that. God, whatever pops up in my life that's contrary to you, I want it slain like Goliath. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29 says this. Jesus said to them, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. I like this scripture. I love this scripture. Because this could be used for almost anything. When Jesus spoke it, it was about, they were talking about, hey, man, this guy had, he married this, he had eight brothers. He married a lady. He passed away. So she married another brother. He passed away. She married another brother. Boy, this lady was killing guys right and left. Right? Got rid of all the brothers. This is the Pharisees telling the story. But it, you know, got rid of all the brothers. So they said, in the resurrection, Lord, who is she belong to? And Jesus says this. He says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. Can I tell you, the scriptures will help you understand things. You'll begin to understand and know things about God. You'll know how much he loves you. You'll know how much he desires to take you to places. You'll know. That's the scriptures. But Jesus gives it two things right here. He says, you don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. What's the power of God? The Holy Ghost. Is that right? The Holy Spirit. You do err. He tells us, these are the Pharisees. I think they might have been Sadducees. Is that right? Pretty sad. You see. Sadducees. How's your hand, Terry? How's your hand, brother? Good. So you do err not knowing the scriptures. Folks, we've got to know the scriptures. I love your daughter's asking for a Bible. Tell her to read it, read it, read it. Even if you don't understand it, just read it. Tell her, put a marker in there and read and read and read. And just make it a habit of reading, because the Holy Spirit has a way of working those words into her. Okay, she will do those things. She'll begin to gain understanding. Folks, it's important that we take the Word of God and read it and read it and read it. And then there comes a point where the Holy Spirit really begins to push on it. And that's when people begin to see visions and dreams and all these other things. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I love it, man. This is the greatest life you can live. Is that okay? That's all right. It's okay. So people, a lot of people that think that you can't walk in this world without sinning, they are erring. They are wrong, because they don't know the scriptures and they don't know the power. There's a lot of Christians out there that will tell you, can't do it. You're a sinner, bro. No, you're not. Crazy. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 says this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you see that? To as many as received him. See, it's important that you receive Jesus. I receive you into my heart, Lord. Come into my heart. Make me whole. Make me clean. Can you say amen to that? Do what you gotta do. You don't need my permission, Lord. Amen. You just do it. Because his work is perfect. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says his work is perfect. So you can trust him to do the work that needs to be done if you'll just open your heart to it. Say, Lord, just do it. Do whatever you need. He says, but as many as received him, see, you got to receive him. And when you receive him, Jesus said, I will send to you a comforter. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power, that is the comforter, that is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost caused you to become a son of God. Ladies, I could say daughters of God. Is that okay? We could say that. But really the term is sons of God. Whether you're a male or a female, it's Christ dwelling in you. So you become a son of God. Is that okay?
Yes.
Do you understand that? It's really a neutral thing. It's all about him in you. Yes, you're a woman. Yes, you're a guy. Yes, yeah, we know that. We get that. But Christ in you. Huh. He's the Son of God. And ladies, it's you too. You're the sons. Okay, there's a place where it says sons and daughters of God, but it's still the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I hope you're getting what I'm saying to you. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons. There's a roadmap right there. Believing, receiving the power, and becoming a son of God. If there's anything this world is looking for, it's the manifestation of the sons of God. How many say amen? Do you know that? That's you. Yeah, look at your neighbor, say, that's you. Yeah, look at the other one on the other side, say, yeah, you too. Tell them, wake up. It's almost over. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8:3, look at this. I love these scriptures, man. I said, Lord, are you going to let me speak? He says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. What was weak? The law. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Why did God send his son? For sin. Because he loved us. But also because the law was weak. How many say amen? See, folks, we got to quit being weak. Because the Son of God dwells in us. We're not weak at all. We are more powerful than we believe. You're more powerful than you've ever imagined because of who dwells in you. Do you understand that?
I said amen.
We don't follow the law. We follow the Spirit. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. See, he sent it because of the weakness of the law and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Do you get it? This is what God did with his son. Oh, boy. For what the law could not do. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Here's, you know, what couldn't the law do? Here's Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never by those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereto perfect. What couldn't the law do? Couldn't make you perfect. Couldn't bring the perfection into your life that God needs. How many know there's a separation without this perfection in our lives? That separation is sin and sin consciousness. There's a separation, but what the law couldn't do, it couldn't break that separation, but Jesus did. He came to bring perfection into your life. Is that okay? for then would they not have ceased to be offered the sacrifices? Because at the worshipers once purged, how many times? Once purged, should have no more what? Conscience of sin. This is what he wants for you. No conscience about it. Okay, you were mean to your mom 20 years ago. She passed away and you weren't able to tell her you were sorry. Well, okay, but God says that you're okay. God says he knows your heart. That sin is gone. He washed it away. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All those things that we worry about, sometimes the consciousness that we think about, God's not even worried about it. As a matter of fact, he's trying to pull it out of your life. He's trying to get you to think clearly. He's trying to set a course in your life so that you find life and life more abundant. Nothing to hold you and shackle you back. Do you understand that? He desires you to be free. Totally free. Inside and out. Can you say amen? Jeez. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 says this: "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever." How many? How many sacrifices?
One.
One for how long?
Forever.
God, you know what? He's not going to go to the cross again for you. Is that okay? Can I tell you? I can be blunt. You sin tomorrow? See ya in HE double hockey sticks. No, that's not true. Because God knows those things that you would even make a mistake in doing tomorrow. Like I said, and folks, I am not giving you a license to sin. I'm giving you the mind of the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? This is the way the kingdom thinks. You are clean. You are washed. I remember doing a story when the guy walks up to the pearly gates, and there's two great big angels standing there. And this guy has been a Christian, and he's served the Lord, and he has listened for the Lord, and done what the Lord has asked him to do. And he's walking up to the pearly gates, and these two great big angels, they bow down, and they look, they bow their head to the ground. He goes, dude, no, I'm just the man. These angels would say to him, we're not bowing to you. We're bowing to him that we see in you. It's the Lord. That's what it is. This is the kingdom they were talking about. And the preciousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ transforming somebody into that which God would have them to be in this earth. Can you say amen? Look around. Every one of us, you're a God in the earth. Can you say amen? Because Christ dwells in you. You're God's. Hallelujah. This has been the intent of God forever. This is what he wanted for Adam. This is what, he goes, man, this is the way it's going to be. If you listen to me, if you hear me, you watch. And Adam says, I'd rather hear my wife. Poor guy. Amen. No more. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. See, folks, this is what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about taking this planet and giving it right back to the Lord. To take dominion, amen? To take authority over this planet. Can you say amen? This is what God has always wanted. This is why he put man on the planet, so that we might subdue the earth and take dominion over it. Can you say amen? That's his plan. God never changes his plan. How many say amen?
Amen.
He knows what he says, and he said, this is what you're going to do. He told that to Adam. Adam messed up, but Jesus came and set it right, and now he's saying it to us. Possessed the earth. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Is that right? How many say yeah?
Yes.
The earth is the Lord's, fullness thereof, therefore it makes it yours. Why? Because the Lord dwells in you.
Amen.
You are possessor of this earth. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen.
Man, we got so much more to learn about this stuff. Can you say yeah? Let's go. I better quit saying can you say amen, because nobody's saying amen anymore. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I hope you're understanding, because what God is talking about is kingdom thinking. It's the way the kingdom mind works. I was talking to Steve over in the corner, and we were talking about how we want to see people growing limbs and eyes being healed and blind eyes being opened, and we see more things. But see, because we have to have a mindset of the kingdom and not of this earth. We compare everything to what we've seen and grown up around. And we can't do that anymore. We've got to learn about the kingdom and allow the kingdom to dictate to us what's happening. Because when that begins to happen, then, folks, then we're going to see, Steve. We're going to see the blind see again. We're going to see the lame walk. We're going to see people that have had problems all their lives be totally healed.
No.
and there's a power, and there's no talks of remission. I'm in remission. There's none of that. It's healed. I'm healed. None of this fancy dancy stuff that they give us at the house. No wonder I don't want to go to the doctor anymore, huh, baby? Never mind. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we gotta go. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's us, folks. He's not coming back till we begin to show those signs of the kingdom. Can you say amen? That's what he's looking for. When he sees these signs of the kingdom, the signs all across the globe. Hey, folks, we got men and women all around the world that believe this. That are saying, hey, we own the planet. My planet. He ain't not going to get up off of those chairs. Because it says, till all, is that what it says? From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Who's going to do that? Who's going to make God's enemies his footstool on the earth here? It's only us. Who does he have here on the earth? Us. By the Holy Ghost. That's how it's going to happen, folks. Some folks are waiting to get out of here. Why? Maybe because they don't understand what the kingdom is doing. Why it's working the way it's working. Henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he has, what? Perfected forever, what? Them that are sanctified. Yes. How many like say amen to that? How many say, well, yeah, that's a good thing. God says you're perfect. You've been perfected forever. All you got to do is take up your cross and follow him. Let that old man die and just continue to follow the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? It's not hard. Yeah, it's not hard. Yeah, it's a little harder than some folks, but it's hard. It's a walk. Can you say amen? And when God needs to tell you something, he'll tell you. And when you need to learn something, you'll learn it. That's a great thing. Hebrews 10:22 says this. Therefore, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, a sin consciousness, having your heart sprinkled and our bodies washed with what kind of water? Pure water. Where are you going to get that pure water from? From the rivers of life. Is that right? Jesus said it this way. Look. I just want you to know this. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what we're talking about, these things. What? Yeah, out of your belly. This is why you don't need anybody to teach you. You don't need anybody to show you. Well, all you've got to do is listen to the Holy Ghost. See, everything that I'm giving you here, that's because I listen. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit because I have to, because God says, I want you to speak it to my people. Folks, it's kingdom thinking. It's the way that the kingdom is built. There's no other kingdom like this. And it's an everlasting kingdom, and this kingdom is going to take the world, and it will be here forever and forever. How many say amen to that? Now, I'll tell you what, it's here. It's within us. Come boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says this. Let's draw near. That one said, and then this was, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help. Find grace to help in time of need. Man, if there's anything you got to see in this scripture, is that he's telling you, come in. There's no more barrier between you and God. Nothing. So you cussed out your policeman. So what? You say, Lord, you paid for that. I need to come boldly because I have a need. I need to get to you because I need to get rid of this anger within me. I need to get rid of this unforgiveness within me. I need to get, see, you need to go boldly into that throne of grace because he says, I'm going to give it to you. But see, if you never seek for it, you'll never get it. Do you understand when I say that? If you don't seek for it, you're not going to get it. Because God says, you got to seek the kingdom first. Seek for it. Woo-hoo. Ephesians 2, verse 18. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Father. How many of you love your Father? I love the Lord. And I love taking advantage of time that I got to go to him and to pray. I like praying at night, praying during the day. I like walking around Green Valley, Sarita. I like praying. I love it. Terry and I used to go walking in her. The only problem was I talked to Terry more than I talked to the Lord. So it turned into, I go, well, you know what, God? Yeah. He says, yeah, I need to hear him. How many say, yeah? I got to hear what he's saying. I love my brother Terry. And we have good fellowship when we talk. But I will tell you, I've got to hear. I am addicted to ministry. I am addicted to, I'm like a junkie for the Lord. I got to have a word, God. God, can you give me a word? I'm going nuts here, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Ah, God, give me something. Give me, like a brother told me one time, he goes, man, I went to one of those meetings, man. And he goes, man, throw us a bone or something. Give us some word. You know, give us something. And they're up there talking about social events. He said, man, God, you know what? What we need is the word of God. Can you say amen? Delivered by the messenger of the covenant. His name is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Last scripture. You guys okay? Sorry. Sorry it took so long. Look at, I got 3 minutes. Or should I go 12:30? You guys, I move around a lot. I can't really see your faces because the lights are bright. I can't tell if you're awake or asleep. So that's why I say, come on, somebody say amen, man. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. I know this is a scripture about husbands, but listen to this. Ephesians 5. I didn't give you that, did I? I'm sorry. Yeah. 5, 25 through 27. I'll wait for you. Thank you, Liz. Don't hurry. We got plenty of time. We got 2 minutes. Poor Liz. Liz said, no, man. Yeah. It's going to be, Liz, it's going to be 25 through 27, okay? The Bible says here, husbands, love your wives. Amen? How many say amen? The wife should go, yeah. The wife should get up and go, yeah. Come on, man. Husbands. Husbands, love your wives. But it says, look at what it says. Even as Christ loved who? The church. And gave himself for it. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. One more. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. You hear that? So what is God doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing in the earth today? He is presenting. He is cleaning up the bride, the body of Christ, the church. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the work of the Holy Spirit And when you run into something, when you have a hard time, when something happens that you didn't expect, when you kiss the pavement in the courtyard, all things work together for good to those that love God and that are called according to His purpose. Why did I bite the dust in the courtyard? So I could tell you about it. Yeah, I guess. All things work together for us. So this is going to be good. Folks, He loves us and He's cleaning us. Submit to His work by the Spirit and in His Word, okay? Could you stand? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for all that You do, all that You're doing. Father, we know just by Your Word that Your Word says that You have perfected us forever by the death of Your Son. But Lord, get every wrinkle, every spot, Lord, that's contrary to who You are, get it out of our lives, Father. Father, remove those things, Lord. Lord, that are keeping us, Father God, from seeing the kingdom in its glory on the earth, Father. Not just in this house, but every Christian that calls upon the name of the Lord, that's filled with Your Spirit, Lord. Every one of them, Father God, that Your glory might cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Father. Father, we thank You. We praise You this morning. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Go Kansas. Ah, come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ah, come on, man. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming to church.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.